Welcome to the Revive, Wake Up, and Win podcast. My name is Medine, and I'm your host. This podcast features ordinary people with extraordinary stories about overcoming and making a difference. I firmly believe with little faith in God and the fight in the human spirit, you, my friends, can wake up and win. I'm here to talk to you today about a special subject. I'm with John Santos.
Glad to be here, and I'm excited to what you're going to talk about today.
Yes, I am too. I mean, I feel like I've been thinking about it all week. Today, I want to talk about Real Young. Real Young is the topic I chose, and there's a reason for that. I broke it out into two words, real and young, because one is connected to the other. I went on a trip today with the youth over at my church, and I'm a Roman Catholic, so there's this thing called Youth Day over in LA that happens every March. So we went all out there and enjoyed ourselves, went to Knott's Berry Farm. We went to a big stadium filled with other worshipers and churchgoers, and there was a lot of love, a lot of positive energy, and because of that, it really provided some juice that I was desperately needed on my end to an inspiration. So when I was dealing with these kids, one thing that I learned was that they don't like BS. They don't like anything that doesn't look authentic or feel or sound real. So I feel like this new generation that's coming up is all about the truth in any form or facet. So whether you bring it through a podcast, in your products, in your brand, your day-to-day life, they resonate more with that and they have a better eye for it. Now, the reason why for it, I can't give you. I do know that things like how the kids perceive reality and perceive the truth is definitely shaped by the interaction they have with technology. I think there's so much time spent on phones and playing games and in virtual reality and Pokemon Go, and I can name off a whole list.
Fortnite,
right, exactly. All of that has caused a new phenomenon where they just want to deal with real people. And, you know, I think that's a struggle for myself because I am a millennial, and we have about 800 different filters that we put on our Instagram photos. And we want to look perfect and we want everything to be perfect, but I think they're shaking us out of that. So that's pretty much what I want to go off of today, is these kids and how they impacted me, how all the youth that we deal with with Revive and in our own families, and how they're positively affecting the world because of that. So
what's something that really stood out for you over the last 3 days that you got to spend time with them? Like what made you want to call that out?
Well, one thing is for sure. I know that there's workshops or sessions, breakouts during the convention. So we have this big church service and mass that happens in the beginning. And then after that, you have these breakout sessions that go on in different rooms inside of the convention center. And you could just tell by the reaction of these 15, 16-year-olds to the speaker if they resonated with them or they didn't. I went to a specific speech that was very well laid out, completely articulate, very detail oriented, a lot of points that really were, I thought, interesting, but half the kids were sleeping and nobody really cared. And I don't blame them. I was halfway asleep myself. Now, no offense to anybody who is there, teaching, but it's a hit or miss. Normally when you go to those kind of events, mm-hmm. you're gonna have some that are great and some that are not as great, and that's just what happens. But I noticed that they would fall asleep in those really well-made presentations. There was one presentation I went to that was in the morning on the second day that blew everybody away, and it was because he had incredible energy. He made everybody stand up and have a lot of fun. So we played like this one game where he talked about different saints, and in our church we have these saints who are held up that are really good and holy and all that. And so he brought up three of them and said that one of them was Joan of Arc, another one was Saint Patrick, and there was another one. And he mimicked how they would fight with their swords. So he made us make the sounds and he made you stand up. And he's like, now you're going to pick who you're going to be and then imagine that you're slicing that person with your sword. And so these kids are just yelling like they're all falling all over each other back into their seats. And it was an incredible thing to watch. We just, and the adults got into it too. So we were just, one thing about these kind of events is that if you have to get into it, you know, you can't just sort of show up and expect to be inspired or expect to take something away from it. A lot of times when you go in that mentality, you're not going to get as much out of it. But when you go in and you kind of act like a kid and you have fun, incredible things happen, and that was one of those moments. So this whole crowd is now pretending they're different saints in history that are fighting with their swords, and you know, you see one kid going, ah, like they just got stabbed, and then there's another little girl that's like pumping her fist like she won. You know, and so after we did that, he got them all to sit back down, and then he brought some of the truths and some of the things that he needed to say in his speech to the kids, and we all were, you know, listening to this guy. So they were wide awake, eyes tuned in. They felt this guy really had something to offer them because he gave a piece of himself to them, almost in a sense, and made them so that I think that that was, it came off more authentic. So I think they resonated with that more. So that's one of the things that I saw that really sparked it for me.
And what was the age range of those kids?
So you got 14 years old all the way up to about 19.
That's crazy.
All high school students. Yeah.
That's nuts. Cause even, I mean, just thinking back, even when in high school, when those types of things would go down, you'd always have the kids that would just stand to the back and be like, that's dumb.
Yeah. Like, this is stupid.
But it seems like everybody was having a good time where you guys were, right?
Yeah. 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 No, and you know, I think you really got to set the tone. I think that a lot of times I would go in, this is about my fifth year doing it, and I would go in kind of being a little bit like a jerk or a little bit of a snob, you know, like, oh my God, I'm not going to do that. It's so stupid, or something of that nature. And that caused me to hold back. And then all the kids sort of fell in line with that as well. And that they sort of followed that precedent. So it wasn't that enjoyable, you know, and it took me a while to come out of my shell and really have fun. But after I did, then they kind of bought in more, and the speaker bought in completely, or bought into what was going on. So when you have that mix, something incredible happens. I don't care if it's a business conference or if it's some kind of, you know, yoga session, whatever it is, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And these kids all really, they really have a real keen sense for that. Mm-hmm. And that's what something I've had an intuition for, but they really brought to the forefront for me now.
Wow, that's powerful. And a few days ago, it's crazy that you brought up this topic. So Madin was saying, you know, we show up to this podcast and I just show up surprised saying, okay, what is Madin going to talk about today? And he said, he mentioned this topic. What was funny is literally 2 days ago, I was meeting with Kevin Rayford, who is a professor at CSN, a big mentor of ours, big supporter, and is a reason why we've been able to, you know, go down this path. And it's people like Rayford that continue to inspire you and continue to kind of look outside of your own circle or your own shell. And one of the things that he mentioned, because we were on the topic of authenticity, and we were on the topic of how the generational shifts have occurred, and they've occurred so fast that I didn't even notice them. So like, it's been something that we grew up with that we didn't notice, but are now starting to take light in the younger generation, because then we start to see that the younger generation wants authenticity. And in reality, we've always craved that ourselves, but it's not till right now that we start to notice that. So what he mentioned was that during his time, so he's like in his 50s, and during his time throughout high school and college, essentially everybody, the persona was to win. There was only, how are you the biggest winner? You know, so like you'd show the prestige, the university diplomas, you'd show the cars. Donald Trump was huge, you know, because he said the art of the deal, you know, like even though he lost a lot of deals, everybody looked at his wins and nobody cared about the losses, right? So that's how culture and media really was, as, you know, 80s and 90s in a way. It was always about the winning prestige. And now what's been going on is that every big celebrity or those bigger celebrities that you connect with and vibe with are not scared to actually be vulnerable and put their true selves out. And before, they would look at you like, why are you sharing that? You know, like, why are you sharing your losses? Like, are you crazy? Because everybody would only share their wins. So it would be a culture of only being the best. Mm-hmm. And right now is the culture of show your true self, be vulnerable and connect with others, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a new series out that I'm addicted to, is Will Smith's Bucket List. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched it, but he's done things like jumped out of a plane, obviously, stand-up comedy for the first time. And then the one I just watched was him training for a half marathon, mm-hmm. that he had to train for in 3 weeks and he's out of shape. So during that, all what he's showing there is all his insecurities, his flaws. I would suggest everybody check out that show. But he tried to go for the half marathon and he didn't make it. So he only went 10 miles instead of 13, and he felt horrible about it. And they did the camera work and the production all around that concept. And so he was talking about for 10 years, he didn't drink, didn't do anything. He just focused on his body, his career, and taking himself to the next level, winning, like you just said. And now he's in a place where he wants to give more, I don't want to speak for him, but essentially he's opening himself up more to new YouTubers who are kind of obscure, audiences that from all over the world, that's more direct to his personality. And then he met with Dave Chappelle when he was doing the comedy stand-up. And even Dave kind of gave some introspection into how to be more authentic and connect with people and all that and not care what people think. And Will was talking about, and this is something that actually brought me a lot of comfort. He was talking about how at 50 years old and, you know, after having an incredible career and all that, that he still feels vulnerable or scared of kind of tied to people's approval, you know, and that's at his point in his career, in his life. So for me to feel that way, or for you, or for anybody, as we're all building our different projects, it's completely natural, I guess. And so that to me is really, it brings me a sense of comfort. That really is what our company has really reached out to. I think people knowing that we've been struggling with, you know, losing deals and not making money and hurt and actually being in the red for many years and, you know, being stuck on an idea, kind of losing it and then going a different direction and going a different one. I think all of that is incredibly valuable. I think now you got to be in a place where you understand what that concept means and how to actually approach that. You know, for some people, I'm interested in this topic, because for some people, putting yourself out there is walking outside of your house. You know, for some people, putting yourself out there is saying hello to another human being. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we're at, mm-hmm. I think. And it's like, let alone put out YouTube videos or do podcasts or put out clothes or products. But I think that I want this podcast, we want our company to serve as a means of a respite or some kind of a break from that idea or that pressure that you need to be perfect, that you can strive for perfection. But, you know, while we're here on this planet, sorry, tough luck, you're not going to be perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I think that's really incredibly powerful.
Okay. So as we're talking about this, you know, being authentic versus being perfect, for the people listening out there, what would you say is a way that they could start striving to just be their authentic self in a world that, in a way, still craves perfection? I mean, we have Instagram filters, we got ViscoCam, we got YouTube. Now YouTube has edits on their videos, and obviously people always have a way to kind of filter what they actually want to show to the world. So what is a tip, or what's a thought or a mentality that they need to start obtaining in order to connect to the generation that's to come and in order to connect with the world in an authentic way?
One thing I would say, and I've learned this in all humility, I had to get to this place through some, you know, pain and suffering and some problems. But I would say connect with your family and the people in your orbit. Like, those people know you incredibly well, and they've been watching you over a set amount of years. So they have insights into you that you don't have into yourself. That takes time to get to, because not because you're not smart enough to see that, because you're probably too proud to see it. And that's a hard place to get to. Like, I think about my older brother, my family members. I think about close cousins, relatives, friends that I've known for years. And just sitting and talking to them and asking questions that you might feel uncomfortable asking, after a while, you kind of want to know more and more, because you get to see another person. besides this person that you think in your mind, you get to see what that the world sees in you. And that's a hard thing to do. But if you go to people who you love and who love you, there's a baseline there to know that there's a trust, mm-hmm. that that person is telling you something in a way that isn't to harm you.
Right.
It's to help you, you know. And I know there's a lot of talk out there about, you know, if your family doesn't like you, screw them, you know, go just be successful, you know. But I think family is important. Yeah, there's still a lot of cool family members out there, you know.
Shout out to all the cool family.
It's called cool family members. You know, there's that one cool sister or that mom or whatever. And just take time with that, because the more I've spent time with my family, the more I've been able to kind of open up in my own way. And sometimes you're not going to hear what you want to hear. Sometimes they'll tell you things and that you're frustrated with or this and that. But the reason why I say that is because you take that out into the world. Whatever it is that you don't get right at home, you get wrong in the world. You know, it goes out. It follows you. It doesn't, it doesn't disappear. And there's this mentality that you can probably compartmentalize it and all that other stuff. And hey, more power to you if you can, but I'm the type of person where I want it to be as natural and pure as possible. And it comes from those people who've been watching you for all that time. So that's one thing I would say, spend time with your family and open up and have a genuine conversation and put it in a spirit that is positive, that's caring, and that you're being vulnerable with them, because you could do that, it'll help. I know people are not in good situations a lot of times with their own family, but hey, it's worth a look. Maybe close friends at least start right there, something like that.
That's definitely something I even read up on when it comes to the professional development side of things. So whether you're an executive in a company or whether you're an entrepreneur or a brand owner or whatever, you have a lot of people that you're spending a lot of time with, and those people are the ones that also get to know you more.
Yeah.
So it's always good to do like a yearly evaluation in a way, not just like a professional evaluation, like, hey, you showed up late to work 5 minutes, you know, like it's an evaluation that you ask of others where they're going to critique you on certain points. Yeah. What's the most, like, where can I improve in terms of as a human being, you know, like,
yeah. 'Cause
a lot of times they could tell you, how can you improve your work? And they'll say, show up earlier. Like, no, none of that. Like, I'm talking about how can you improve as a person? You know, mm-hmm. like what are my strong suits as a person? You know, am I caring? Am I loving? Am I supportive? Where can I improve? Like spending more time with other people, like in your mm-hmm. workplace or whatever. Because once you kind of get that baseline, then you're able to do things throughout your day or throughout the week that will help you get there. So like what was funny is that even a few weeks ago, Medine said, hey, you know, for Lent this season, instead of you just giving up chocolates and sweets, like, why don't you add doing something for somebody else as a complete stranger on a daily basis? And I was like, but I always do stuff for strangers. But then it's like, wait, have you actually taken the time out of your day to go drive somewhere and do something or talk to somebody on the phone? Or like, that's a challenge, you know, like, and I can't say I've done it every day, but I've done it at least 4 out of the 7 days.
Yeah, yeah, for sure,
so,
yeah.
So I'm working on it, and,
yeah.
it's tough, but it's those kinds of challenges that help you become a better person, improve.
I agree with that 100%. I think like that there is a, when I've, was younger, I'm 30 now, almost 30, I'm 29. When I was younger, I was a total complete goofball, right? Like, I'm talking to you coherently and having a conversation in a podcast and a company. But when I was 19, I was constantly joking around. You know, I was a total joker, and I was, you know, and I was an idiot most of the time.
But
and
he was a joker with a suit.
With a suit. So this is a perfect story. I'll tell this. So I wanted to be a businessman so bad, you know, and I wanted to be, that was my dream, was to be, you know, industry guy, you know, with a suitcase, a briefcase, and, you know, a tie, and, you know, walking around, you know, in charge, large and in charge. So I was like, if I want to do it, I got to dress the part. And I was 19 or 20 years old, and Kevin Rayford was my mentor. So I saw that everywhere he went, he walked around with a briefcase, and his briefcase was just, it was subtle, but I was like, man, that's so cool. It's like, nobody has briefcases anymore. I'm going to get a briefcase. Excuse me. So I went to Office Depot. I grabbed one of the ugliest briefcases that you probably think of, and then it had a code to it. And so I took the briefcase with me, and then I walked around everywhere with it. Now, I was, a lot of times I will walk around with, you know, my lunch or my food in my briefcase, and no paperwork or anything important in it. So I would just have, one day I went home to my family and they saw, I opened up my briefcase and I had like an Egg McMuffin in there. And it was like some old, there was some coupons and something else. And I was just like, yeah, this is what I, you know, I'm super professional. And I was kind of projecting that onto my family and telling them who I am. And then one day my sister just saw me in the living room, pull out this Egg McMuffin from my briefcase. And she goes, do you have food in your briefcase? And she goes, I was like, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. You know, this is to keep me, you know, motivated and inspired. No, but I had a briefcase with food in it. So so I got made fun of a lot back then. And I was just goofy. Like, I mean, I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. And, you know, just to keep in line with the actual topic here, as the years went on, as I got older, I kind of got more serious and boring because, you know, I deal with life and bills and, you know, I don't know if I fit in exactly with what I'm doing. Am I doing it the right way? Living at home with my parents for years, not having my own stuff, you know, trying to live up to certain standards, failing with certain businesses that I would try to approach and do. You know, I didn't know how to pay bills on time. I mean, I was just so all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I hated that part of myself. So I wanted to just develop that so much and become a better man that I think I lost a lot of that fun-loving, energetic goofiness that I used to have. So as I got older, you know, my family told me, they were like, Medine, you know, I'm like, now look, I'm responsible. You know, look, I'm paying bills. I'm doing what I got to do. And they're like, Medine, we miss the other Medine. We miss, you know, you being having fun and making us laugh and all that. And I used to make fun of everybody at every holiday. And, you know, I would go line them up and I would do impressions of everybody. And it would be fun. You guys knew it. We did it with each other. But the point is that as I got to where I'm at now, I'm kind of circling back to that old. That's why I'm hopping on a podcast in the middle of the Green Valley with my boy. You know, I'm just, you know, opening up, talking about these things and slowly getting back to that person, you know, that's improved, of course, and more mature, but has that fun and has that energy and that joy. So that is where my authentic self, if you want to call it, is, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm getting back to that. I'm not there all the way.
Right.
You know, I'm still super insecure about a lot and I have a lot of hang-ups, if you want to call it, and mental things, but I'm working through all of that to try to get to that place again because it's really important to me. So
if somebody's listening right now, perhaps, you know, they're a teenager, they're 16 years old, and you know, I still remember being a teenager in high school. It was tough years.
Yeah.
It was very hard years. I think it's the years where you're trying to really become who you want to be, but you don't know who you want to be yet.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in one of those situations where it's just like a catch, you know, like it's just a lose-lose sometimes. And it really feels like a lose-lose.
Yeah.
And I think that's the rise of, you know, the emo scene and all the emo, like all of that really, really lives in those years.
Yeah.
Because everybody's emotional,
yeah,
you know?
So, that, yeah.
So like, I always like to try to say, like, what would I tell that person today? You know, like, and if you really look back right now, Medine, and I'll share it first, or if you want to share it first, what would be the message that you would say to young Medine, 15 years old in high school, trying to fit in?
First thing I would tell him is don't be too attached to those curls because you're going to get older and those are going to be gone. So just stick with the waves. No. I would tell myself just don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously. And don't do anything that'll land you in jail or kill anybody.
Yeah.
Don't do that. As long as we can stay away from those things and, you know, and don't completely wreck your life, I think you'll be all right.
I'd say the same thing because I don't think I had enough fun. Well, yeah. I mean, I had my good fun, but it was also not in the right way sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say have good fun and don't work so much.
Yeah.
You know, because I was working full-time in high school and I just didn't really get to live the high school self, you know, but
you're living the life now.
We're able to do what we do today.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I think those years are probably the most like so much changes.
Yeah.
Like on a day-to-day, even on a week-to-week, like 1 week you could be with one girlfriend, the next week you have, you know.
That's like, mostly me. He's been with the same chick for 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So like 1 week in high school, you can have one girlfriend, one group of friends. And then the next week you guys aren't friends and you hate each other or something, you know. And it's like, and like 1 week you're striving to be the best. The next week you just don't care about your classes and it doesn't matter, right? And I think as we grow older, we also tend to forget that each year we should be evolving, or each or every once in a while we should be changing to be somebody that's different, that's better, or that's better to their family or better to their community. Like, I think that's the challenge that a lot of us have, is that we forget that as we're growing up, we change. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point in life, we're just the same person. Right?
Yeah.
So like, you're just like, for years, you do the same things. You don't do anything different. And as we're kids and growing up, there's so much that changes that I think that when you get older, you feel a little bit more depressed because things haven't changed for you in a way that you wanted them to, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And another piece of advice I would give to myself is, hang around with people that make you love yourself. That's important, because if not, then you start, you know, going crazy and you'll be in a whole different ball game because you're in a job you hate or a relationship that sucks. But one thing I would say is that I would give us a lot of credit for us grinding like we did and just going after it with everything that we did, you know, with the company, with the products, with how we went out there and, you know, what we went after and how we went after it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change that for the world. That's something I would, for the rest of my life, those memories will always stay with me, because we tried, you know. Mm-hmm. we did it, you know. Yeah. We went out and created a bag and sold it online, went on TV, did all this, did all that, and the story is only beginning. I believe that.
Definitely,
that's something that I would, in a positive way, share with other youth, to just go for it. Like, we looked at JanSport, at Spraygrounds, and you know, Herschel, and said, so what? Like, we could do that too, you know. And we didn't have big backers. We just had a support system at a school. We had some ideas and we had energy, you know, and so we were going after it. So that's something I would always, always commend us for.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And always share what you're doing with the world. I think that's, if we would have kept it to ourselves and not shared it with anybody, or been too scared to present to the board meetings at CSN, you know, we're 19 years old. Medine's got his briefcase with the cheeseburger in it. And I'm like, Medine, why'd you bring that?
So while we're on that, real quick, I'm going to jump in, because you want to talk about my briefcase. Let's talk about your trash bag. So what we're going to do in this, because it's authentic in this episode, we're going to talk about John Santos and his presentation skills back in 2012. Yeah. All right. So it's, we had these bags that Caesar worked very hard on to create. And as you guys know, may or not, we have a bag. We created bags. That's what we started out as. That's what our core competency as a company is creating and designing really good looking bags. So, but back then, Caesar created his first line of really good bags. You know, this is after we had our first iterations. So I remember we would present almost every week at in Kevin's class, or just in general, we would show up places and present. And, I remember we would go one class and we were really confident and showed up with these bags, and I just popped off in the mouth and was like, we got the best quality bags, 600 denier polyester, and it's like almost like one step below military, actually, and everybody's going to really like it, and look at the zipper, it just stays right there, and this is the best, you know. Just we were going for quality and perfection, you know, that's what we want. And at the end of our presentation, this guy comes up to us after doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, he just comes up to us a little bit concerned and very genuine about his approach and really wanting to help. And he goes, have you guys thought about making a big bag for your bags? That way you could come out and present with it, you know, like, and I kind of stopped and thought for a second. I'm like, what is he talking about? We have the best bags in the world. Why would we do that? And I look over and we have a hefty trash bag full of these high quality bags that we're presenting to. So now we're basically taking our products out of the trash. And we're handing people products out of the trash, and we're telling them to buy it off of us, and you're going to get a discount. And the only, if thank God Rayford offered 50% discount, I mean a credit for your homework assignments if you bought our product. Because if it wasn't for that, we probably wouldn't have sold one. You know, they like, did you just walk over to the trash can outside the at the outside the hall and just bring us whatever was in the trash? Is this like, is this yeah, Rayford going, is this like one of your outreach programs, Rayford? Because what happened? No, and yeah, so and yeah. Then yeah, we stepped it up after
that. That's a true story. I remember being so proud, like, hey, Cease, pick up these bags. Like, we're going to take 50 of them. About to sell them all. Throw them. And he was like, how are we going to carry them? And it's like, just throw them in that bag. And we'd lug them around. We'd literally look like we're janitors with suits on.
Yeah. Yeah, here's our bags, everybody. There's one kid in the bag. I don't want that. What are they presenting? This is stupid. They just stole those from Kmart and put them in a trash bag. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a true story. Like, we thought we had the best presentation. We were suited up. We had our product. We had the key selling points. We still carried everything in a trash bag.
You know, a great example, just to kind of really bring this home, another great example is the Thunderdome. So, to lay this out for you guys, we mentioned it in the last episode, this TV series that probably only would only go for one season back in last summer of 2017, we shot this and we're restricted to certain laws and everything like that. So I'm going to be mindful of that. Usually John's my legal guy, my whole legal team telling me to shut up, Madine. So I'm going to be very careful. But what I wanted to share was the process of preparing for that Thunderdome that John mentioned in the last episode. You should check it out, episode number one. But what ended up happening was we showed up for the first time and gave this presentation that sucked. And it was like every presentation that we did at every school, every campus, and we just sort of like, my name is Madine Gabrez-Gear.
My name is Jonathan Santos, and this is our company.
Yeah, this is our company. This is my business partner. And these are the products that we're gonna launch. We believe there's some market share, there's opportunity.
You guys get the point.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep going with it if you didn't stop me. But so it was horrible. So, you know, what they saw was not authentic to us. And so they sent us back home and said, figure it out and get back to us with something that's way better. Because our audition tape, I actually created one with the gorilla mask and I was just running around being goofy. And they said that's what they wanted to see. And so of all the entries that went to that show, I didn't know how we made it, but we ended up having a really good product. We ended up having a good audition. We showed up. We did that, what I just explained to you, that horrible presentation. We went home. We practiced. We came back and did it again. And the key thing was we were just being ourselves and we had a lot of fun. I think that really changed the direction of everything else. Mm-hmm. Because in that presentation, you're here to witness that, Jay. We were having fun on that stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel any pressure. Nope. I wasn't like trying to hit my lines or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We fed off each other's energy, the crowd's energy, and we knocked it out of the park, man.
So. Yeah, it was one take. So what you guys saw on TV, that was one take.
Exactly. Jake.
That wasn't a reshoot edit. That was like a one take thing. And I was mind blown by how good that came out.
Yeah.
That was the best presentation that we've ever done.
Yeah, and I think it was, what I will say, it's a added effect from all of the years of practice that we've had.
All the years of the hefty bag.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point I wanted to bring to the listeners was the hefty bag. You got to start in the trash bag to end up on top.
That's right.
Yeah.
From the ground.
Yeah, from the ground up. Yeah, check out John's Ground Up Academy, by the way. So that's what really drove it home for me. And I just kind of drew this comparison as I was sitting there on the bus ride home from this church trip, thinking to myself, man, that's so true everywhere, you know, and how else can it how else can it be? You know, what are you going to, you know, sign a deal for, you know, 360 or, you know, and become be a singer that way? Or are you going to do a YouTube video? You know, are you going to go to Walmart and try to get a large order unit or sales to Walmart? Or are you going to go on Shopify or Etsy? You know, that's in business and in your career, but also just in general, like with girls I talk to on dates and stuff, I'm as goofy and as chipper and as a weirdo as I want to be, because that's how I am. You know, that's who I am. I used to try to pull off this suave thing and it sucked. You know, I'm just like, yeah, my name's Medine. It's foreign. It's exotic.
I'm a prince.
Yeah, I'm a prince from another country. Look at my briefcase. Yeah, I'm a professional. I'm a professional. No, but I mean, with that, with friends, just in general, people around you kind of resonate with who you are, and you gravitate towards those people over and over again. We've known each other for years, but I can't pinpoint a certain, you know, monetary reason we've been hanging around each other. You know, we sure as hell haven't been using me for that. I know that, you know, and likewise. But what I can say is, no, just kidding. But there's a natural flow and that you should try to cling to, you know, just sort of fall into it. I mean, these are all the different examples and reasons and, you know, my own sort of personal experience of how this ends up ringing true in my head. That's what I want this podcast to constantly provide, is some insight past just, you know, work hard, be your best, you know, and do all that, putting ourselves out there for the public to see in a way that makes them say, oh, I can do that. I can actually create a company, or, you know, take that job, or talk to a friend, or make friends, or anything. The most important part about what we do is making you feel like you're worthy enough and you're special enough to go out and try something awesome, something that you have wired into you that you've been wanting to do for a long time or been thinking about. And we're telling you to go for it. And we're not just going to tell you that without telling you our story or how that comes to be. But when you just go for it, by knowing that this new outlook on life and this direction that everything is going, and with being real versus being perfect, the hard part isn't shooting for perfection. The hard part is trying to be yourself, going for that, and knowing that you're a good person at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So put yourself out there in a way that makes you feel comfortable, that you are feeling power, that you can go out and create something special that's unique to you. You know, not what anybody else is doing, but that you have certain gifts and talents that the world needs. So I've been told my whole life that I have a voice for radio and that I have some special insights. So now we put a podcast together. Fine. All right, let's do it. You know, so whatever you have, go for it, because the real you is what people want to see. And this next generation is all about that. So try, go for it, wake up and win. Thanks for listening. My hope is for you to take away insight, information, and most importantly, inspiration from this podcast. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and on the Anchor app. Also, if you have a story that you want to share, reach out. Send us an email to the address in the description. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Instagram/Revive Brand Co. and check out our website, www.revivebrandco.com. Wake up and win.